Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. This is a special episode of Veterans Connect Radio, episode number 14. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Ryan Redhawk, and alongside me is Brandon Skolnick. How are you, Brandon?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Been a few weeks since we've been back in the studio.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I've missed you.
I missed you, too.
You're still looking good, though.
Oh, appreciate it. Yeah. You were on a European vacation.
I was. I was bebopping around Croatia, Czech Republic, in Italy, Slovenia. Don't forget about Slovenia. They might get upset.
Man, that sounds like a great opportunity to get out there and explore the world.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun. It was my wife and I. We left the kid at home with his grandparents, and now he's spoiled.
So you didn't take the child?
No. Why would I do that?
No. Well,
About you?
Yes, I did a No Barriers Warriors expedition, 7 days in the Colorado backcountry. All 12 veterans come together for backpacking and everything. So it was a great experience. Didn't know anyone. And then by the end of the trip, we were all friends and having a great time.
And who was all there?
So like I said, all branches of service, all ages. I was the oldest guy there, but I was not the slowest.
Okay.
I made sure of that. I did not hold the group up on any of the backpacking stuff.
But you're really in shape. You like to do CrossFit and all that other jazz.
I was trained pretty hard. Altitude will humble you very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so all over 10,000 feet, we summited it up to 13,000 one day. And going down was a little more difficult than going up. Yeah, going up burns your lungs. Going down burns your joints and your ankles and all that. So
did it take you a while to recover? Or are you still good?
Still great. I came back to Atlanta and my cardio was stronger than ever after being at altitude.
Of course.
So No Barriers Warriors, opportunity for combat veterans to get out there and connect in the backcountry if that's what you like to do. And let's remind our listeners to make sure you're connected with us on social media. You can follow the program on Twitter at VetConnectRadio. We often like to use the hashtag VetsConnect. And also, you can check us out on Facebook. We'll be taking some photos of our in-studio guests here today, so make sure you like us there. And in studio today, we have a couple great guests.
We do.
A little bit later, we're going to get to visit with a returning guest of the program, Samir Patel with Mobilization Capital. Look forward to checking back in with him and hearing what's new with him and his organization. But first, let's say hello to Shane Lazenby. How you doing, Shane?
Doing well, thank you.
And you are an attorney, is that right?
That's right.
Lazenby Law Group?
It is.
All right. And how's that going for you?
It's going great. Going great. We're in our third year.
Wow.
Doing really, really well. Enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't imagine being anywhere else.
And you specialize in personal injury and criminal defense, right?
Well, I do personal injury.
Okay.
And my buddy Kyle does a little bit of criminal defense.
And Kyle's your partner, correct?
That's right. Kyle does personal injury as well.
Right. And Kyle was supposed to be with us here today, and unfortunately had some something come up.
Emergency,
cannot join us, but probably have him back here in the program.
That's right.
In the coming weeks. So let's visit with you and your background, where you're from, and then your military service.
Well, I actually grew up in a little bitty town in northeast Georgia called Lula.
Seriously? There's a town called Lula here?
Shout out to Lula,
Okay, never heard of that.
Population 1,000.
Nice. Whoa.
Grew up there and moved away, joined the Army in 89, Georgia Army National Guard actually at that time, and then ultimately went on active duty and did a total of 21 years, both reserve and active combined.
Did you really? 21 years. What kept you in so long?
Enjoyed it. I really did. And one of the things that I thought of when I retired was that I was going to miss the people, and I absolutely did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had some great jobs and had some jobs that weren't so great.
Mm-hmm.
Deployed and enjoyed part of that, didn't enjoy part of that, but ultimately... really appreciated the folks that I was with.
Yeah, and you got to see the world from the guard side, from the active side. And where were some places you were stationed?
Well, it's funny. Brandon mentioned a few minutes ago, Italy. That was probably the most fun I ever had. I did two short tours in Italy. Enjoyed that. My combat tour was in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
OEF 2002.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was still in the 80s.
No. A number of different stateside locations, most notably probably was Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And then where else? Tunisia, Italy was an interesting spot. Germany, did CMTC in Germany, Combat Maneuver Training Center.
Mm-hmm. Where in Germany?
It's in Hohenfels.
I spent some time there. I was stationed in Vilseck, Rose Barracks, Germany, and so we did a couple rotations there at Hohenfels.
Yep.
Summer there was as cold as any winter I've ever experienced there in the field.
Yes, it was. It was a good place to train, kind of cramped a little bit, not like NTC, the National Training Center.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. Went there as a private.
Really?
I started out as a combat medic, and so I went there as a private. Mm-hmm. And then... Also did a rotation at JRTC, interestingly, the day after I graduated from Ranger School. So
seriously, they forced you to that suck?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. Exactly. I went from one suck to another. Right. Exactly. Wow.
Yeah, you got that coveted Ranger tab, also a Master Parachutist badge and Air Assault badge.
Yes, sir.
Which one of those three ranked the highest for you?
Oh, my Ranger tab.
I was going to say, not the Parachutist badge. No. But although that's cool, it's not one you see very often.
No, it's not. But, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of intellect to fall out of an airplane.
No, it doesn't.
Ranger School was probably my most proud moment as far as my military experience.
And included a competition in the Best Ranger competition in 2002. Man.
I did. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah.
I did Best Ranger in 2002. So nice. The best duty I ever did.
Yeah. Really unbelievable. Every year they do that. And as an infantry guy, you know, that's kind of physical status we all hope to be and everything. So you still keep up with the Ranger community and all that?
I do. I still have a lot of friends that I keep in touch with on a regular basis. Thank goodness for social media.
Yeah. Right.
Wished I'd have known more about taking pictures and stuff like that when I was going through some of the training that I went through, because it was a lot of fun and I don't have a lot of documented memories of
it. No, but it's kind of cumbersome with like regular film and everything, right?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. When the Polaroid comes out at the bottom, there's just no place to keep it.
So,
and then at some point you began to see yourself transitioning out of the service. And did you always know you wanted to go into law practice, or when did that kind of dream start first awaken for you?
Well, I always knew I wanted to go in some sort of graduate program. And I think the Army prepared me well for that. But law school ended up just being the fit. It really did. When I started out as a private before I went to OCS, and I was a combat medic, and I learned fairly quickly that I was not going to be a doctor. Law school seemed like the logical choice.
Yeah, so you went to the Walter F. George School of Law at Mercer University in Macon, Georgia. You're just Georgia all around.
Indeed, wow. I did.
Yeah.
Enjoyed Mercer quite a bit. I was a double bear. I went to Mercer for both undergraduate and law school.
So what you called a double bear?
That's what I call it.
Well, the bear, okay. The bear is the mascot.
Right, of course. I thought, if you go to UGA for both, are you a double dog?
Okay. Double dog.
Interesting. Okay. Right. Yeah, double down on your double bear certifications there from Mercer. And then you graduated, got out of the service, and did you go to work for a big corporate law firm, or did you always know you wanted to be an individual practice?
Actually, I worked for two different law firms my summers of law school and didn't have a good time. Be candid about that. So I just decided that I'd go back in the Army. And
wait a minute. You went back in the Army.
When did you graduate from Mercer then?
I graduated from Mercer in 99.
Oh, wow.
And went back into the Army and branch transferred from infantry to judge advocate.
So you went JAG.
Oh, okay. I did. Man. And I did a three-year service, and that's how I deployed to OEF as part of the 82nd Airborne Division.
Okay.
And then came back and rejoined the Guard, Army Reserve for a little while, and then the Guard, and branch transferred back to infantry.
Really?
And that's how I finished.
It sounds like you just have a strong desire to serve.
Yeah, but you're done now.
I am.
And so when did you retire then?
December of 2010.
Wow. Okay, so not that long ago.
No.
Wow.
So 2010, you got out of the service, and then where did you go from there?
Well, I bounced around a little bit. I started out in a very cool law firm, I thought, at the time. Love, Willingham, Peters, Gilliland, and Moniak, which is a mouthful.
Yeah.
It's known as Peters and Moniak today. Okay. Fine defense firm, defending physicians in malpractice cases, and did that for a little while. Then I moved up to Gainesville and worked for a little firm called Forrester and Brim, doing defense work again, and then started my own firm in 2013. And Kyle, interesting story how he came around, but he joined me right after that.
Really? Yeah. So, you know, when I was talking to Kyle, he said you guys are trial lawyers.
That's right.
And so there's like a huge difference between, I guess, other lawyers and a trial lawyer. So tell me a little bit about being a trial lawyer.
Well, in my view, it's the only way to be.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. We try cases, essentially is what that means. We go to trial. We almost exclusively focus on personal injury.
Okay.
And we represent individuals who've been injured by the negligence of others and their families if the family members have been killed by the negligence of others. Mm. And we actually do go to trial.
Yes.
In fact, I got one coming up in October that I'm looking forward to. I do.
Yeah, so you guys are kind of more like in the fight then, right?
Dating back to World War I, we're in the trenches.
You're in the trenches, yeah. Right. I was trying to use the right word.
Yeah, and some lawyers don't want to litigate. They do not want to be in front of a jury. They just want to do the research and check the paperwork and kind of be behind the scenes. But you actually seek that out.
We do.
Okay.
Is that what led you to be a personal injury attorney? Because you know you're going to go to a lot of courtrooms kind of defending those cases.
It is. It's an adrenaline rush in a lot of ways. There's a lot of equaled feelings, I guess is the best way to put it, between jumping out of airplanes and waiting on a jury to return a verdict. You get that same fluttery chest feeling where your heart starts beating like crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Right. And then what's your favorite lawyer movie?
Oh, probably The Verdict.
The Verdict.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
Of course,
one.
My cousin Vinny's a close second. <Yeah.
laughs> Who doesn't love that? You know, we were out on the trail recently. We get all veterans. We love talking about movies. Whenever there was a lull in the conversation, we'd always go back to movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got this new idea, Brandon. I want to run by you here later. For business. But
Got it.
Yep. It involves veterans and movies.
All right.
And so, but now your clients, you service all over Georgia.
We do.
And how are clients finding you these days? Are you actively out there beating the bushes, shaking the trees? Or are you got the phone ringing off the hook?
Well, social media is pretty pretty active for us as far as when clients come in. Yeah, yeah.
That's very interesting. So the legal or being a lawyer, you can leverage social media.
Absolutely.
All right, give us some more about that.
Yep. Well, we have a website, lazlawgroup.com, LAZLAW group.com. And we get a lot of feedback from our website. We're on Twitter. We're on LinkedIn, things like that. So that's a good bit. And then word of mouth, old-fashioned word of mouth probably is a very close second.
Yeah, doing good work. Brings more good business.
That's right.
But you're in a noisy space there. There's a lot of personal injury attorneys out there. There's faces on buses and billboards all across town. But how do you stand out amongst the crowd?
Well, I think it's our service. I mean, our mantra that we use as our motto is experience, dedication, and integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And we work hard to work every case, irrespective of whether we believe that it's a case that's worth $100 or $10,000 or $100 billion. You know, we believe that we give everybody the same amount of service.
And
your case is truly the most important case we have. And that's true about every single case that we work on.
Yeah. And you will represent anyone from the smallest clients to big settlement potentially as well.
We do. We're very selective in the sense that we only get involved if we believe we can help somebody. I mean, we work on a contingency fee basis. So we get paid if the folks get paid that we're helping.
Wow.
And if we believe that they'll come out better without us, we'll just tell them, look, you don't really need for us to get involved in this. You're going to come out better without us.
Right. Interesting. So you've been on 3 years now.
That's right.
Okay. You got any next moves?
Just continue plugging along.
And now how many people are in your firm now?
We have two attorneys.
Okay.
And each of us has a secretary.
Okay.
And so then four of us total.
Do you guys expand or how does that whole world work?
You know, there's different business models and different ideas.
What's y'all's business model?
I think our business model is probably to keep it pretty small.
Okay. Truck along and just do the right thing.
Yeah. Things have worked out great using that business model. So we think we're going to keep it pretty small.
Good deal.
Any piece of advice you would give to a young attorney out there who's thinking about hanging their own shingle? What was those lessons learned from you that you could help them avoid some of those pitfalls?
Oh, great question. You just got to take the leap of faith.
Go for it.
Yeah, exactly. And if you work hard, success will find you. I mean, I believe that wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. So what do you mean by work hard? Are you talking 20 hours a day, 7 days a week? Or are you just talking, are you saying work smarter maybe? Doing a little bit more?
A little bit of both. I think at the outset, one of the things that you're going to have to learn really fast is you got to be a businessman and a lawyer if you're starting a law firm.
All right.
And so you're going to have some long hours to put in at the beginning to learn all the business aspects of running a business, because that's what a law firm ultimately is
as well.
I mean, we service clients, but we also are running a business. So you got to learn that at the outset. Separate and apart from that, it's working smarter.
Just like
you said, one of the things that we try very, very hard to do is there's no aspect of our case, no nuance of our case that we don't try to become an expert in.
Interesting.
And so a lot of our personal injury cases involve the hiring of experts, whether it be medical malpractice, telling us what's going on with the medicine, to expert accident reconstructionists that tells us how an accident very likely happened, to structural engineers and folks like that. And we really get involved with those folks, try to learn what they know. And so a lot of times it's working smarter. And since we do select our cases and keep them close to our chest and work hard on each one, we can become an expert in just about every nuance of every case.
Huh. And now family support. So a lawyer, works long hours. So you got to have a team rooting for you in the back. So
absolutely.
How does that work out for both y'all's families?
You know, that's an interesting transition as far as thinking about how moms and kids are a lot of times on their own. We're deployed in the military capacity. And a lot of that translates over when you're working long hours. I mean, there are times where I'll go travel and take depositions for lengthy days at a time. I have four kids and a beautiful wife at home, and she holds down the fort. While I'm away, sometimes 2 and 3 days or more at a time. If I'm trying a case, it may go 2 weeks without me getting much time at home.
Right.
Kyle similarly has two. One's really, really new, just born a couple of months ago. His wife stays at home, and she holds down the fort for him, so to speak.
Wow. So you've got similar between the family support system in the military, and then out here as a lawyer, as an entrepreneur, you've got the same family support system. So for the spouses in this scenario, it was an easy transition, or were there some things you had to get over or something you had to work out?
Well, I think probably the easiest transition for the spouses is that nobody's shooting at you.
Okay.
That's probably the easiest transition.
Of course, right? And maybe you're not a pond away, right?
Bit closer to home. You're not a pond away. I mean, you don't have to wake up and worry about staying alive all day.
Okay.
So that helps.
Of course.
But otherwise, I mean, my wife is very active. We're a very family-friendly firm, and that a lot of times we'll have clients that bring kids in.
Okay.
And we got a little coloring books and whatnot for them to play with. But wife comes by on a regular basis. Kyle's wife comes by on a regular basis.
We hang out, eat lunch.
Eat lunch. Wow. That's nice about owning your own business.
Yeah, it's a family atmosphere. You can kind of call your own shots, kind of create that environment that you want to be happy in and succeed in as well.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Right. And what about the veteran perspective? Was there anything that you went out of your services to help with the business, or do you actively put that on your website, veteran owned, veteran run?
We do, and we capitalize on that a good bit. And the reason is it means so much to both of us. And we try to give back. Both Kyle and I are mentors in our local veterans court. And Kyle spent some time in Fulton County as a mentor in the veterans court in Fulton County.
So talk to us about that veterans court. Yes, sure. For the listeners who may not know.
Sure. It actually started out in Buffalo, New York, and it's kind of spread across the country. And it's an interesting story. Essentially, what happened is there was a fella who had a problem with recidivism, and he was consistently showing up back in front of this judge, and he was not having a very good attitude and not showing up well. And so the story goes, one of the bailiffs learned that this guy had a military background and was a veteran. So he asked the judge if he could take him out in the hall for a little while. And
really?
So he did. And some would call it woodshedding. Some would call it a little bit of corrective training.
Wall-to-wall counseling.
Exactly. But ultimately, he talked to the guy and convinced him, look, fella, you had some pride in your service. I know you did. You made it through some tough times. And I don't know if this guy deployed or not, but I'm sure he could draw on that as well. And said, this is not hard to do. Show respect to the judge just like you would show respect to the military, and use your common courtesies, and you'll be surprised how things work out a lot better for you. And so the guy goes back in, and the story goes that he was very, very respectful, and the judge was blown away, and then asked the bailiff after it was over with, what'd you do? What happened? And the bailiff told him. And so that judge got the idea spread across the country, and now a lot of judges are stepping up and saying, hey, maybe we can get some guys out of this cycle, this vicious cycle, if we help them out by playing on their military experience. And so we now, as mentors, go in and just talk to these young and old fellows and just say, look, let's find a common bond here. And if you're having trouble, if you're, falling behind in your duties with respect to what the court has allowed you to do on your own recognizances, give me a call and talk to me about it, and we'll work through it together. And so that's what we do.
And this is like the Gainesville court, the city court?
It's the Hall County
Hall
Superior
County.
Court. Sure
okay.
is. And state court has one as well.
That's good to know. So yes, Brandon, sir.
I'm a certified mediator.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
See, he laughed at me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
How about that?
No, it was a real thing.
Well, that is very interesting. And listeners, also note that Shane was selected as Georgia Super Plaintiff Lawyer for Plaintiff's Personal Injury in 2015.
Wow.
Won quite a number of awards. Georgia Super Lawyer Rising Star 2009, 10, 11, and 12. And now a guest on Veterans Connect Radio.
Yeah,
put that on your resume.
Very happy to be here.
Feather in the cap.
That's right. Tell our listeners how they can find out more information about your practice.
Well, go to our website, www.laz, that's L-A-Z, lawgroup.com. And for the veterans that are listening, that's Lima Alpha Zulu, Lima Alpha Whiskey, Golf, Romeo, Oscar, Uniform, Papa.com. So go to that website or give us a call, 678-971-1166.
Nicely Roger. Done. All right. Will you hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Looking forward to it.
All right. And welcome back to the program, Samir Patel with Mobilization Capital.
Oh, thanks very much. Glad to be back.
All right. And so you were on our very first episode that we did back in February. What was that moment like for you?
It was a watershed moment for us. We're finally coming out with Mobilization Capital.
Nice.
You know, it's good to be on the program.
Yeah, so bring us up to speed. What's new and exciting in your world?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at where we were back in February when we first started to now, like the traditional metrics, Mobilization Capital loans money to government contractors.
Right.
Because the government's not doesn't provide advances on contracts.
And they often don't pay very quickly.
Yeah, so the average contractor has to float themselves for about 60 to 90 days before they can expect payment.
And the difference between you and, say, a factoring company or other traditional financing is?
Yeah, exactly. We provide the money before they invoice.
Okay. Right. But after you get the contract.
After you win, you just have to win the contract, show us a signed piece of paper saying the government has, yes, awarded you this contract for widgets or, you know, cleaning or whatever the contract is, and we provide you the startup capital to get going.
And how do you determine that amount? Does the business say, hey, we need $30,000, $100,000, or do you do some investigative research on your own?
Yeah, no, it's pretty simple. I mean, I see what the government's awarding them in terms of dollars for that particular contract, and then I ask the contractor to submit a project plan to me.
Okay.
And based off that project plan, if it makes sense, and, you know, they're not asking for, like, you know, 100% of the contract, you know, face value amount will usually.
What do they typically need?
Typically, you need about 30%. 10 to 30% to get started.
Okay.
Usually cover payroll for about a month, cover, you know, any expenses on purchasing, things like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then once the contract is fulfilled and the government does send a check to the business, or they send that to you, and then you then reimburse the business.
Yeah, we do it a couple ways. Yeah. In some cases, we secure the payment against the contract itself.
Okay.
And then in other cases, we just trust the contractor to pay us back whatever was agreed upon when they get paid.
A case-by-case basis. Yes,
case-by-case.
Like.
Yeah. So where are you at now? Fast forward 6 months or how long have it been?
Yeah, so in terms of like the traditional metrics, we've done five times as many loans.
Oh, wow.
We in terms of revenue for ourselves, like it's, you know, 1,000% plus. I mean, we've done a lot of loans. And this time of year is really busy, actually. As many of you know, the fiscal year for the government ends September 30th, and so a lot of government agencies are, you know, using their remaining budgets to spend money on things that they wanted to spend money on. And so now I'm getting calls probably like 2-3 times a day. Wow. I'm going to close two loans today after this show.
Yeah, and over the weekend you
did. Yeah, and over the weekend I closed, you know, two more loans, and so it's just...
And this is business just coming out of the weeds, or are these other past existing clients being referred?
It's a combination of both. It's definitely a combination of both. And what I do like, though, is our retention rate. We are getting repeat borrowers.
That's a very important, probably an important part of your business plan, is you don't want to just service a client and then, you know, never see them again. You'd like for them to come back.
Yeah. Now, with that, is that something that as the business developed, you saw your perspective shift? Because I imagine when you first started, you assumed that you would just fill one off. You know, you would fill a contract and they would go about their day or their business. Did you not see that people would actually come back and get more loans?
Yeah. I mean, initially, you're right, Brandon. Like, I thought that, you know, I'd give them a loan and then they'd be off to, you know, off the races on their own. But actually what I realized is that in the course of executing on a government contract, you need funding at actually three different points in that process. And so not only do we get the people started on, you know, winning the contract, getting them going, but then they also sometimes need money during the process as well.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of recurring invoicing that occurs on some of these service contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes the government payment cycle is off cycle from where your payroll is.
Okay.
And so often you get contractors that have to make payroll, but the government hasn't paid them yet.
Right.
And so they make payroll more than once.
Yeah. So we come in and we can, you know, close a loan within 2 days, sometimes the same day.
Right.
And get them going on their payroll. And
especially if they're prior customers, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it looks like so your business model has evolved a little bit. So it's from Mobilization Capital kind of to like a startup.
Yeah.
You know, cash crunch, fill the need here. And then as they climb, do you see yourself continue to service them in like a more traditional capacity as some of these firms grow with you, or?
In a traditional capacity, probably not.
Okay.
I mean, I think you need a lot of stuff to do that as a traditional bank would.
Right. And so you're going to sit where you're at, you think.
Yeah, in terms of the nimbleness, in terms of responsiveness, and what I would recommend if you're, you know, looking at starting a business, understand the products that you're actually providing. And I thought, oh, we're just giving you money, but really I'm providing, you know, three different types of lending products, mm-hmm. actually.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And so there's a product that fits most government contractors.
And what about your income stream, your revenue stream? How does that play into all this?
Well, I mean, so most of the money that's lent out is my own money, actually.
It's personal money.
Yeah.
Right? And then so you'll just charge a percentage on how much you're actually lending.
Yeah, there's a cost of capital attached to it. It's pretty reasonable. I mean, the benefit of working with government contracting is that I know I have a good idea of what their costs are and what money's coming in on the revenue side for them.
Yeah,
and
so fairly predictable.
Yeah, so we make sure that we're not going to, like, you know, kill their entire margin or anything like that.
Right. So that makes sense, too. And let's revisit your background. You're a West Point graduate, right?
Yep.
You did some time up there, and you're still involved with the West Point community here in Atlanta. Is that right?
Yeah. So I graduated in 2008, branched armor. So I was a scout. Did two deployments. One
did you wear the Stetson hat?
I did wear the Stetson
hat. The yellow, the Spurs and all that?
Yep, I did. I did. Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you did the deployments, went over Iraq and Afghanistan?
Yep, both.
Okay.
Both, yeah. And it was actually in Afghanistan that I learned the ins and outs of government contracting because I managed that for my brigade.
Oh, you were like a battalion XO or something?
No, brigade comptroller actually was my title.
Is that right?
Yeah, so I managed, like...
They knew you were smart, so they're like, let's put Samir in this position, and we'll never have to worry again.
I'm pretty sure the commander didn't want to go to jail, you know, for misspent money, so he thought, put me in the position, then I would go to jail if I...
Right. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you began to kind of open your eyes to the government contracting space while deployed. That's an interesting kind of place to kind of be exposed to this.
Yeah, I mean, the government, and then the military especially, heavily relies on government, on contracting to fulfill their needs. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up managing close to 30 million plus across 80 contracts. Mm-hmm. So
then you began to transition out. When was that for you?
Yeah, I transitioned out of active duty at the beginning of 2014.
Okay.
And then I've had the benefit of kind of simultaneously having something on the side while I was in the military.
Right.
Yeah, you were invested in hotels at a very young age. So,
yeah, right? I bought my first hotel when I was a cadet at West Point.
Nice. Wow. Right. So you had a business sense about you while serving. Yeah. When you got out, you knew you wanted to go that entrepreneurial route.
Right.
Any advice you would give to a young entrepreneur out there now?
I think one, don't quit your day job. I mean, I know a lot of guys have dreams of starting their own business and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and that's great. But don't quit your day job to immediately just jump in. It's probably beneficial if you start researching at least while you're, you know, in a regular job. Obviously, don't use your company's resources. Mm-hmm. Without asking permission, at least. And then, so do your research. Just dip your toe in while you still have an income coming in the door. All too often, I see a lot of guys just like, you know what? They're fed up with their job, you know, whatever their job is. And then they decide, you know what? I'm going to go do this. And they do it on a whim. And it's not something you should do ever on a whim.
That's me. That's kind of what my whole life has been on a whim, basically. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's two philosophies. And I think that whatever works for you and being told by somebody, a successful somebody, you know, dip your toe in, and then being told by a successful somebody, take the leap.
Yep.
I think it really depends on where you fit. So, you know, there's a personality that says, oh, thank you, Samir. Yeah. I'm going to dip my toe in.
That's a good point.
And then there's going to be a group of people that says,
I'm going head first, all in.
I'm going to, you know, take the leap. So, it, you know, it just depends.
Right? It does.
But this is still good.
Yeah. I mean, like the way I look at it is like, you're going to get punched in the face.
Yeah.
No matter what. When
you're starting, if you can take getting punched in the face, then, you know.
Yeah. And if you can get punched in the face while you have income coming in, then that lessens the blow.
Absolutely.
But if you can get punched in the face and you're still going to be okay if you do your own thing, then
do your own thing.
Do your own thing.
It's still good.
Yeah. Right? And a lot of veterans, you know, I do believe are kind of have that pedigree from the military experience to be an entrepreneur, but they are afraid of getting punched in the face.
Absolutely.
They like the safety net and security of a big company or organization like the military itself.
The Army has taken care of you.
Yes. Right. And so to be an entrepreneur is in a lot of ways kind of counterintuitive what you have been trained to do in the service. But from my perspective, it really helped me become more confident and go boldly forward into, you know, into entrepreneurialism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, what's next for a mobilization capital? Are you guys looking to grow?
Yeah, we're looking to grow. I've run out of money of my own to lend out, actually. So we're bringing on new investors, and we're just making more loans. And what we've done is we've actually created partnerships with a lot of brokers that help contractors find money across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we've created this broker network. And the other thing I've learned is that it's better to leverage other people to grow, for example. And so referrals is probably the best way to
so
to
partnering with people, like-minded individuals in industry,
yep,
so they can refer business your way. And
yeah, there are a lot of consultants, and there are a lot of, you know, consultants that work with government contractors, and so partnering with them, helping them help their clients, it's a win-win.
That's
and so
fantastic.
And when we give, you know, the contractor money, the consultants also get paid, you know, from
right,
so they, you know, they get paid for doing their work too.
Oh, very good. So tell our listeners how they get in touch with Mobilization Capital.
Right. So go to mobilizationcapital.com. You can also email me at spatel@mobilizationcapital.com, and it's spelled just like how it sounds. And yeah, we're really quick.
Come on
good.
Down.
Good. Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to more great things from you and Mobilization Capital going forward in the future. Thank you so much for being a guest here today again on Veterans Connect
Happy
Radio.
Year, yeah.
In the final segment here, we'd like to just kind of open it up for a roundtable. Talk about Atlanta. Talk about the veteran community. Any kind of thoughts that maybe we'll start with you, Shamir, that kind of outreach or programs you're involved with?
Yeah. So, I mean, Georgia has, like, I think the second or third most number of veterans in the country.
I did not know that.
Because Georgia's a very heavy veteran-centric.
But from a state perspective, we're not doing a whole heck of a lot to empower those veterans. Like, I think we rank, like, somewhere in the middle of the pack as far as veteran benefits.
Yeah, like, from a government perspective, I'm not so sure you know, what the state's actually
doing. So that's
why
it's up to us as private individuals, yeah, as groups, as a community
veterans
of ourselves,
yep,
to help ourselves and
yeah,
help others be aware of what's out there.
Right, yeah, right. And so I'm involved with the West Point Society of Atlanta. I sit on the board of that society. So we help veterans. We help, you know, fellow graduates and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Get placed and
yeah,
get
job. Placed. Yeah, absolutely. The networking is huge within the society.
Right,
those West Point guys stick together, bro.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, everywhere we go,
no, we
like,
help. We
treat
help
the rest of us like ants.
Yeah, I know.
No,
you know?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Oh,
we're
okay.
We're here to help.
Okay, all right,
good. And Shane, from your perspective, hey, Atlanta, how we doing?
Atlanta's doing great with regard to private individuals helping veterans.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Brendan and I met at Vetlanta,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
it's a fantastic organization. Look it up. Can help a lot of folks with benefits and, you know, just be consistent and be diligent and show folks what you've got to offer.
Yeah.
I think that veterans, Dakota Meyer, which is one of the events that we attended, said it best when he said, you know, you've got a well-trained individual that can offer a whole lot to your company as a veteran.
Yeah.
So I think that veterans just need to keep at it. Try
yeah
hard.
And get out there and connect. Find those, you know, kind of groups or organizations that you can kind of align yourself with and go to a meeting or
absolutely
go to Vetlanta.
Yes, you got to get up early in the morning or you got to get out of your house,
yep,
and go to one of these breakfasts. The old people meet at night.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm sorry, in the morning. Early in the morning.
Like Vet Buds.
Yeah, like Vet Buds. And then the young people meet in the evening, you
mm-hmm
know, like RWB, right? They're
that's right
running around the city.
Yes.
So if you don't like running, and you can suffer getting up in the morning, you know, go to breakfast.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Very true. But Vetlanta is a great organization
it
as
is
well. I think we've all kind of been part of that. We'll remind our listeners, they have their Q4 summit coming up October 13th at the Georgia Power headquarters downtown. So that's a Q4 summit. Go to vetlanta.org for more information. And Vetlanta is a club, not a nonprofit group. It's not a, you know, raise money, raise awareness. It's just a group of vets getting together to help
yep
promote vet shit.
Yeah, and then so, that's what they do.
Yeah, that's what we do here at Veterans Connect Radio. So we're looking forward to having Veterans Vet Atlanta back in the studio here real soon and talk more about that coming up. And so, yeah. And Brandon, what about you? Any events coming up for you or places people can find you?
No, I don't think I have anything on the slate right now. I got Gathering of Angels tomorrow.
Okay.
Right. Which, you know, that's where we put 3 to 5 young companies on a stage in front of about 30 to 40 angel investors, local angel investors. And, they, you know, they pitch their business and we try to connect them to people that are interested in something that they have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that tomorrow. And actually, Friday, my brother graduates from boot camp, Paris Island.
Congratulations.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's so great. Go
he's going to be a Marine. Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, nobody's
so
perfect.
Why didn't
yeah
you go Army? Why didn't you follow in your footsteps?
You know, I don't know. He's always wanted to be a Marine. And then
yeah
there's some talk about being in the Army. And I was like, well, you know, do what you want. Don't do it because of me. And so he went in the Marine Corps. But, you know, I've got all my family somehow connected to the military.
Same thing. My brother was a Marine. I'm Army.
Yeah.
I have another brother who's currently serving in the Navy. He just
really
made Chief in 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Which is a pretty big deal. Yeah, congratulations.
What is E what? E6, 7,
Chief,
seven,
6, sorry. I think 7, six. E6.
Something.
But he of the group there, he was like the second youngest guy.
Really?
The only other guy younger than him was 5.5 years, and he works at the
wow
White House or something.
Oh,
so
wow,
as a and he goes to work in a suit
well
and tie.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
yeah,
no, very happy for that. So it's good to come from a veteran family,
yeah,
stay connected in the military. In Atlanta, we're doing such great things to kind of promote this as a destination for place, whether you're transitioning out of the service or you're a business and you want to help, you know, put veterans to work. there's so many opportunities here in
Absolutely.
The city of Atlanta.
So many different pages on every social media site. There's so many Google anything vet programs, and we've got all kinds of stuff here in Atlanta that's run by private individuals. So
yeah, that's very good. So let's go around the table one more time. Remind our listeners how they can get in touch with you. Start with you, Shane, sure. in your law practice.
Thank you. Lazenby Law Group, LazLawGroup.com, 678-971-1166.
And we'll have that information posted up on our website, post-show, veteransconnectradio.com. And so please do come back, Shane, share some more insight. And if you got some news exciting to share, take on a new partner or something, come on back and be a guest anytime.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. And Samir, for you?
Yeah, we're on LinkedIn. So if you just search Mobilization Capital, you can find us on LinkedIn. We have a small Facebook page as well. And then email me, spatel at mobilizationcapital.com.
When you're not out there changing the world of business, what do you like to do in your off time?
I like to just sleep, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a favorite veteran pastime, military tradition.
I mean, I'm putting in 12 to 15, 18 hours a day some days. So,
really?
Yeah.
So you're just working hard.
Yeah.
And you like to shut your eyes and get some sleep when the day's over.
That's a pastime, yeah.
What about on the weekends?
I'm working on the weekends too.
Really?
I mean, when I do get time, I'd like to travel.
So okay.
Yeah. I was in Japan and Asia earlier this year.
Interesting. So nice. Very good. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Samir, for coming back on the show.
And Shane, what do you like to do in your free time?
Yeah.
I got four kids.
Brandon, there is not much free time.
Not much free time.
Really? Okay. Yeah. You can't pawn them all off? Go to different sets of grandparents?
Sometimes, okay. But it's pretty rare.
Yeah, we have a great time. All right.
There you heard it, folks. You can find Samir sleeping or Shane hanging out with the children if they're not working hard at their respective businesses. So thank you both, gentlemen, for joining us. And thank you, Brandon. We'll be back next week.
We will.
Yeah, one more week.
Hard.
September 19th. Yep. And we got a good show coming up then. So stay tuned for more. Make sure you connect with us on Twitter, Vet Connect Radio. We often use the hashtag Vets Connect. Mm-hmm. And you can also follow Brandon personally at Vets in Startups.
Yes.
On Twitter.
And I like to tweet.
Yes. He's very prolific at his
tweeting. I hit the retweet button a lot.
Yeah. Right. And you can follow me, Ryan Redhawk, on all social media platforms, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere you wish, Ryan Redhawk. All right. Thank you so much, listeners, for joining us again here today. If your company is out there doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and veterans alike, pitch us a story at veteransconnect@gmail.com. Is that right?
Yes, sir. It sure is.
veteransconnectradio@gmail.com.
But we're on the radio, so that's why there's the radio there.
Confusing. And we were hacked a couple weeks ago on that Gmail account.
Ryan was at the library or something. I don't know what he was doing.
I know. I wasn't sure if that's back up and running. So anyway, it is your story. We'd love to feature you here on Veterans Connect Radio. Until next time, thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor and the entire Business Radio X family. I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We'll see you on the radio.